men of God who have died. They were standing on that building and they were calling me to join them. People like John Sung and Watchman Nee. And I knew that God was calling me to continue the work that they have started. And so the place was quite dear to me. So I went there and the pastor was very nice and he took me out and all those things. And when they collect an offering for me, I said, I can't. No daddy takes from their children. Daddy pays for their children. And I said, I can't. You all like my spiritual sons. I can't. I said, but the son has grown up. I mean, he really wants to fight to give. I said, no. And I sat with him and I said, Lord, send me here. And I listed down several things. I said, these are the things that you must look after before I come back the next time. Say, if you don't set it right, you're going to lose your entire ministry there. And there were internal areas that I saw that need to be restructured. And I love when I left and I paid my own way there, get everything myself. And when I was flying back, and literally I flew there in the morning and I saw the sunrise while on the plane, flew back at sunset, and literally it was from the rising of the sun to the going down. The Lord's name was praised. But I was sitting there going back, and I left everything what I could, you know, give them all the offering. And in my heart, as I was flying back, I heard the Holy Spirit say, son, this is what Paul himself would have done. And you can understand what Paul said when he says that even though I have the right to take from you, I do not. And he says, because I love you. And I want you to know that I love you. So every minister must have his ethics developed on their inside, so that they know what it's like to be mature in God. And as we develop our love in knowledge and in discernment, Paul talks about, in the first section from verse 4 to verse 7, he talks about the splachna and the development of this splachna, which is in four different areas. This splachna is a sort of unification between us and the affection of Jesus, and the affection of Jesus to one another, so that we love one another, not with our own love. Jesus did not say, love one another, full stop, period. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Let's never ever forget that the greatest commandment given to us is that you shall be my disciples, you shall love one another as I have loved you. And every minister who succeeds must succeed in making people love one another more and loving God more. Thank God for the healings, thank God for the signs and wonders, the miracles of God. Thank God for the salvation of souls and the revival of many things. But in the long run, where the rubber hits the road, it is, do we love one another as He loved us? That's what Jesus came for, didn't He? Those were His last words to His disciples. And these are the last words of the pastoral epistle. The goal of every apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher, that we may love one another as He loved us. And love is something that you cannot just teach about. You must do. If all God did was send a little tract from heaven that said, Homo sapiens, I love you, none of us would respond. But God sent His Son, died on the cross. And if a picture paints a thousand words, that one act of Jesus paints a thousand pictures of what love means. And because of His act of love, we are changed. So let the future generation of ministers grow up to understand that the greatest is not money, the greatest is not fame, the greatest is not gifts, the greatest is not position, but the greatest is love. Everyone say, the greatest,
is
love. In the book of Philemon, he mentions four different aspects when he speaks in verse 4 to 7 to Philemon. First of all, he says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus, and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective, or the word effective is the Greek word energes or energizing, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you. Now we will take the key word refresh and study those four verses. There are four different aspects of refreshing. Here the Greek word refresh is the Greek word anapao, A-N-A-P-A-U-O, Romanized. Anapao. And anapao means to be rested again. To be rested or energized again. See, one of the powerful things about fellowship and love is love energizes. Why does a mother's love for a child become so great that some mothers are willing to die that their child may live? Love is an energy that is tremendous. It goes beyond natural strength. Some people on their in their areas, perhaps some injury or some sickness, puts them on a deathbed. But when they think in themselves and say, no, I must live for my loved ones, some energizing force comes into them and causes their body to physically recover beyond natural speed. Love is powerful. And it refreshes. One of the things about splagna, there are four different aspects that we're looking into, and that is, it refreshes. It gives you all your original strength back. Ministers of God, if you're weary, cast down, depressed, or even if you're not in the ministry and you're doing work for God, you know what you lack? Splagna. You lack friends who will love you and who will energize you through that fellowship that you have with them. There's some energizing force that is there. When Paul was all alone after much persecution, and he was waiting for Timothy and Silas to come down, in the book of Acts chapter 18, we are told that when Silas and Timothy came down from Thessalonica, Paul was strengthened and he preached the gospel even more powerfully. He was refreshed. He seems like he's energized to do it even greater and even more. So there is an anapao, a resting that comes when you are in a splagna relationship together. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16, it says here, however, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern of those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Oops, this is 1 Timothy. Verse 16, chapter 1, verse 16, 2 Timothy. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for you often refresh me and was not ashamed of my chains. He often refreshed me. Now the word refresh in chapter 1 verse 16 of 2 Timothy is the word anapsuko. And it's from the word suke. And the word ana in the Greek means another. In the early church history, they were the Anabaptists. They were people baptized again. So, Anna means again. Anasuko is like another soul. So what happens when you get into that kind of relationship with people is it energizes you to the extent that it's like having two souls that are completely united. Like having another mind working with you. There's an energizing force. When our soul forces unite together to serve the Lord. Anasuko. It's an increase of knowledge. And I love Christian fellowship when it's real fellowship. And for many ministers, the most precious time is when they pray together and they talk about the things of the Lord. And as they share the experiences and the revelation of God, God began to spark understanding and knowledge where one on one side and one on the other can only have that much knowledge. But when both come together, it is not just 1 + 1 = 2, but it's a increase that is beyond. It's like 10 times of it. So that when 1 chase 1,000, 2 chase 10,000. It's a tremendous effect, an anasuko effect. And the other word that we want to see is found in the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts 27, verse 3. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care, or and was refreshed. Receive care, refresh, translated in the Old King James, is the word to be given special attention. And in each one of us is a need for individual attention, and it can only come when we have good relationship and fellowship with the people around us. I know that it's an impossibility being limited to one physical body to have be really intimate with millions of people. But at least you could, in a limited sense, where everyone have their circle of friends that they work with. And yet, some people work together with others but cannot be close together. What an irony. In the Bible, it should not be so. Those who work together should be the closest together. And it's the Greek word, takano epimelia, which means giving of specialized attention to a person. And that's important. When you're bringing up children, you notice that when you speak to a child, one of the important principles is to give eyeball to eyeball contact. So that when your child is talking to them and you're looking at a book and replying them, something is missing and they know it. But when you give eyeball contact and full focus attention as you talk to them, it makes a tremendous difference, because there is a subconscious transmission that you care for them. That they are not just an addition to you, but they are to you precious. And that kind of preciousness must be felt. Inside each one of us, we all want to know on our inside that we are special to some people. And there's something on our inside that God has made us so that we cannot exist on ourselves or alone. The fourth and last area here is Romans chapter 15, verse 32. That I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. And here it's a same word, pao, but used in a different way as a sunana pauma. which means to be refreshed together, a combination that comes together until it is like a refreshing and rain coming down. So in these four areas, you will notice these four verses exemplify that. In verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints.